as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear the shooting, you're darn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And you can tell they're shot from guns the minute you see the big red and blue package of the ready-to-eat breakfast treat, Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. On every package, there's a picture of the huge gun and those scrumptious king-size premium grains exploding into the air. Bigger, better tasting, and full of bang-up nut-like flavor. Boy, they hit the spot with milk and sliced bananas or other fruit. So for breakfast every morning, be sure you get the ones shot from guns. Delicious, crisp, Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. The steady beat of the spring rain on the roof of the livery stable made young Greg Randolph drowsy, and he stretched out on a cot in one corner of his office. In a few minutes, he was sound asleep. It was not until 2 hours later that he woke with a start.
What?
Someone was pounding on the door of the stable.
It's midnight. Who can that be?
Open up!
Just a moment.
Man staggered in, leading a tired horse. With them was a collie. Man, horse, and dog were plastered with mud.
Bar the door. They're after me.
Who's after you?
Never mind. Bar the door.
The man was near collapse. He was hanging onto the pommel of his saddle when Greg returned to his side.
Must have had a hard ride.
Yeah. Any place where I can lie down for a minute?
Sure, there's a cot in the office. Put your arms around my shoulder.
Thanks.
What did you mean when you said someone was after you?
Oh, forget it. I'm all right now that I'm in Dawson.
Someone tried to hold you up?
Oh, nothing like that. Forget it.
Here's the cot.
I'm covered with mud.
No, the blankets need to be washed anyway. Lie down.
Thanks. Lie down, Shep. You need a rest, too. My horse.
I'll take care of him. You take it easy.
After caring for the horse, Greg returned to the office. The collie raised his head and looked at the young livery stable owner, but the dog's master was sleeping.
A man doesn't ride a horse as hard as he is without a good reason. May not be a bad idea to have a policeman here when he wakes up.
Greg put on his raincoat and hurried down the street to the Northwest Mounted Police headquarters. Sergeant Preston was one of the officers on duty, and when he had heard Greg's story, he agreed the man should be questioned. King accompanied his master to the stable, and Greg led the way into the office.
He's in here.
Where? I don't see anyone.
I left him here not 10 minutes ago, and he was sleeping. Sergeant, beside the cot, that red smear.
It isn't blood, Greg. It's paint. See, this can's been knocked over.
Well, how'd that get here?
It wasn't here when you left?
No, it was over in the corner with those other cans, the ones that aren't open.
Huh?
I was painting the outside of the building in my spare time. I don't understand this at all.
You say the man was sleeping?
Looked to me as if he'd sleep for hours. He was exhausted.
Well, he may have simply wakened up and left.
But what about this can of paint?
You didn't know the man at all?
Never saw him before.
Better give me a description.
He's about 6 feet tall, about my weight.
About 180?
About. Need to shave. His beard was sandy. He's wearing a leather jacket, blue flannel shirt, corduroy trousers, boots. He had a dog with him. Called him Shep. Collie. Yellow and white, but the white was pretty dirty. Man's clothes were splattered with mud, too.
I'll check the hotels and the cafes.
Yeah, I wonder if his horse is gone.
Well, let's find out.
Nope, there he is.
Good enough. I'll see you later, Greg.
I wish you would drop back and let me know if you find him, Sergeant.
All right.
I just don't understand about that can of paint.
A stranger hadn't been seen at any of the Dawson hotels and cafes. And the sergeant was on his way back to headquarters to give the man's description to the constables who made a regular patrol of the town when suddenly King broke away from his master's side and headed for the waterfront between two warehouses.
King!
A mournful howl sounded from the direction in which King was heading, and the sergeant followed him. On the bank of the river, they found a collie, gold with white markings. Directly below him, in a shallow inlet, was the body of a man. The sergeant lifted the man from the water and carried him to headquarters. Half an hour later, the coroner finished with his examination.
Sergeant, death was caused by a knife wound directly above the heart.
He was dead when he was thrown into the water?
Yep. There's no water in the lungs. Has the man been identified?
There was a name stamped on his wallet. Jacob Martin.
Jacob Martin. And he still had his wallet. Then the motive for the murder wasn't robbery.
Absolutely not.
Sergeant.
Yes, Constable?
Greg said that someone had been following this man.
Yes, but that's all he'd tell, Greg. Nothing about who the men were or why they were after him.
At least you have an explanation of the paint on the office floor. It was spilled to cover up a bloodstain.
Greg was only gone from the stable 10 minutes. They must have been waiting outside when he left. If it weren't raining so hard, we might be able to find some tracks.
They had to work fast, Sergeant. They may have left some clue inside the place.
Suppose you come along with me, Constable. We'll make a thorough search. By the way, where's the collie?
Bert's fed him and turned him into the run.
He knows who killed his master, even if we don't. We'd better take him with us, just in case.
Right, Sergeant. I'll get him.
I'll leave a copy of my report on your desk. Eh?
Thank you, Doctor. Come on, King.
At the livery stable, they found the lamp in the office burning. There was no sign of Greg.
I wonder where he's gone.
He was expecting you?
Yes. The horses seem restless.
He may have stepped out for a moment, get something to eat.
Possibly. Let's get on with our search. Careful of the paint. Martin was lying on this cot when Greg left him.
Mud stains on the blanket.
Let's see if there are any other stains.
Sergeant, underneath it, an envelope.
Addressed to Jacob Martin, General Delivery, Selkirk.
That clinches your identification.
He must have hidden this deliberately.
What does the letter say?
Seems to be a code. Action 1424, Parlor A.
This is getting to be more and more mysterious. What sort of a crowd could Martin have been mixed up with?
Parlor A.
The deluxe staterooms on some of the river steamers are called parlors.
I was thinking the same thing. And the Queen of the Yukon is due here from St. Michael on the 24th. That could give us the clue to one of the numbers.
What's the other one?
14.
There's the 14-mile rapids near Whitehorse.
And the islands in the Yukon are numbered from here to 40 miles. Number 14 is close to the border. Isn't there a landing there?
Yes, Ryan's Landing. You know Rick Ryan. He cuts wood all winter and sells it to the steamers during the summer.
I know Rick, all right. Does this message have anything to do with the Queen of the Yukon stopping at Ryan's Landing on June 24th?
It probably will stop there.
It usually does. I wonder.
What's that?
Where's Greg? Where could he have gone at this hour?
What's King growling at?
Something on the desk.
Sergeant, a knife and stain. It could be the knife that killed Martin.
Wasn't on this desk when I was here last.
There's something written on the paper underneath it. Some printing, Sergeant.
I did it. Greg.
No.
I agree with you, no.
Why, it's ridiculous that Greg should kill a man he'd never seen before tonight. The real killers must have left this note and the knife.
Exactly. And that means they must have come back here after the murder was committed. I hope Greg's still alive.
You believe they've taken him prisoner?
We must find him. King may be able to do it.
Where's something he's worn?
Oh, these gloves. Here, King. Get the scent, boy. Find him. Find King.
When Greg regained consciousness, his head ached, and he tried to raise a hand to it. And then he realized his hands were tied behind his back. He opened his eyes and saw his feet were bound as well, and that he was lying on the floor of a small cabin. Three men were sitting around a table only a few feet away. Their faces were covered by bandanas.
Stop raining.
Greg tried to sit up, but the pain in his head made him drop back to the floor.
Oh. Hey, you come too. About time. How do you feel?
Terrible. Where am I?
What difference does that make?
What's the idea of these ropes?
To keep you from trying anything foolish.
Who are you? Why have you brought me here?
We want the answers to a few questions about the man who came to your livery stable tonight. What did he tell you?
Nothing.
Don't lie.
I'll make him talk.
No, never mind the rough stuff. Answer my question. What did Jake tell you?
He never even told me his name.
Must have told you something. Now out with it. Every word.
All right. He said someone was after him. He was tired, wanted a place to lie down for a while. I showed him my cot, and he went to sleep. After I gave his horse a rub down, I went for the police.
We know that.
When Sergeant Preston and I got back to the stable, a man was gone. Sergeant's looking for him.
He's been found.
Oh, what does it all have to do with me?
I think it's all right.
There's one way to be sure. That's to put a bullet through this hombre.
We know Jake didn't have a chance to talk with the police.
Even so, there was a letter you wrote him.
We didn't find it on him, did we? He must have destroyed it.
Well, what are we going to do with this guy?
Just leave him here. He may not be found for several days.
But when he is, then...
This is the morning of the 22nd. By the morning of the 24th, it will all be over.
He may be found before then.
Doesn't matter. I'm sure now that Jake didn't talk.
Hey, listen.
Red's on guard.
Yeah, but who's he shooting at?
We'll soon know.
Hey, bounties. I shot one of them. I think I killed him.
Let's go.
Right.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Who's on the warpath?
No warpath. Me, Barry Hatchet.
What goes on?
Me now, Big Chief, make celebration.
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations are in order. And say, I have something I'd like to give you because it's just what a Big Chief ought to have for breakfast every morning.
Must be special big for Big Chief.
Oh, it is. Everything about Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice is big. Take a look at the big red and blue packages.
Me like colors red and blue.
And did you ever see any cereal so deliciously crisp and big as Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice?
Plenty big.
Yes, those choice premium kernels of wheat and rice shot from guns are actually exploded up to 8 times normal size.
Big Chief like 'em big.
And what a big eating treat, too. They're shot from guns to make them crisp and tender, bigger and better tasting. There's bang-up nut-like flavor in every big, luscious mouthful.
Me want heap big bowlful now.
Coming up, Big Chief, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are ready to serve. We just top them with milk and fruit and then go to it. And as all you fellas and girls know, you can always have those second and third helpings because Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice are so good for you. They both furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Don't miss out a single morning. For a heap big treat, eat Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. As Sergeant Preston and Constable Downey neared the cabin in the clearing on the banks of the Yukon, the outlaw guard opened fire on them, and Constable Downey was hit. The sergeant carried his wounded companion to a sheltered cove less than 100 yards from the cabin. As he worked desperately to save the constable's life, he heard the outlaws leaving the cabin and plunging through the forest. But his one concern was for the constable. At last, he was able to stop the flow of blood. And using his own shirt, he bandaged the wound. It was not until then that Downey opened his eyes.
Sergeant.
You'll be all right now.
The men we were following?
They're gone.
You should have gone after them.
Well, I couldn't leave you.
But what about Greg?
King will lead me to him whenever I give him the word. There's a cabin a little way upstream. Greg may be there.
The killers may have taken him with them.
We'll see. You comfortable?
I'm fine.
Don't try to move until I get back. I'll not be gone long.
All right, Sergeant.
Go on, King. Fine.
King, still following Greg's scent, led the sergeant straight to the cabin. It was growing light as the sergeant kicked the door open.
Sergeant Preston.
Greg! I'll have you free in a minute. What happened?
I'm not sure. I was in my office. I heard the door open. I started to turn around, but before I could manage it, someone hit me over the head.
There. Go on.
Well, when I woke up, I was lying here. There were three men sitting around that table.
Recognize any of them?
No. They had bandanas over their faces. One of them started asking me questions about the man who came to the stable tonight. They called him Jake.
His name was Jake Martin.
Was?
He's been murdered. What do they want to know about him?
Well, just what he said to me.
And what did you tell them?
Well, he hadn't said anything much except that someone was after him.
Were the men who were holding you prisoner satisfied with that?
They seemed to be. They were going to leave me here when the shooting started. Another man came in and said he'd shot a Mountie. They all left.
I heard them. Constable Downey had been wounded, and I couldn't leave him. Without first aid, he might have died.
But he's all right now.
Oh, far from that. He shouldn't be moved until a doctor sees him.
Where is he?
Downstream a little. I found a sheltered spot for him, and he's resting comfortably.
Do you want me to go for a doctor?
Well, I'll make better time, but I would like you to stay with the constable till I get back.
Of course.
Afterwards, Greg, after the constable's been taken to the hospital, we'll see what we can do about finding the three men who took you prisoner.
I'm sure they killed Jake.
So am I. And I'm almost certain they plan to commit another crime.
Sergeant, one of them, the biggest one, said it'll all be over on the 24th.
And that makes me positive. Come on, I'll take you to the constable.
By noon of that day, Constable Downey was resting comfortably in the hospital in Dawson. And the sergeant and Greg walked down Front Street toward headquarters. King was walking at his master's side. The sergeant was leading Jake Martin's collie on a leash. Without any warning, the collie broke away and leaped to the man who was passing.
Sheriff, come boy!
Almost at once, the sergeant regained his hold on the leash and pulled the dog back.
Go on, you mutt!
The man he had attacked was Ben Gordon, the acting gold commissioner. The sergeant turned to him to see if he'd been hurt.
You all right, Mr. Gordon?
Luckily, yes. That dog should be locked up.
I'm very sorry.
It wasn't your fault, Sergeant. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Sergeant and Greg continued down the street.
You know, Greg, Shep isn't a vicious dog. He must have had a good reason for snapping at Gordon. I said last night that he'd be sure to recognize the man who murdered his master.
I'm not suggesting Gordon had anything to do with it.
Could he have been one of the men who held you prisoner last night?
He's as big as one of them. He certainly doesn't talk like any of them.
A voice can be disguised.
Those men were dressed like lumberjacks.
I don't imagine Gordon always wears broadcloth.
But it just isn't possible.
Greg, I mean to have a talk with the military governor as soon as he'll see me.
At 2 o'clock, Sergeant Preston was shown into the office of Major Warren, the military governor of the Yukon Territory.
Sit down, Sergeant. What can I do for you?
Well, sir, I'm working on a murder case.
So I read about it in the morning paper.
Well, then you'll understand that I don't have many clues to work on. But I'm wondering if there might be a political aspect to the killing.
Really? Why?
I'm wondering if Ben Gordon had anything to do with it.
Indeed?
He's the acting gold commissioner. Could I be told why he hasn't been given the job permanently?
The gold commissioner is appointed by Ottawa. I have no control over the office. However, I'll answer your question in strictest confidence.
Yes, sir.
I made a strong recommendation to the government that Gordon should not be retained, and that a permanent commissioner should be appointed at once in his place. They've acted on my recommendation, and the new commissioner's on his way here.
That's been kept a great secret.
I've spoken to you in confidence.
But why, sir? Why should the appointment be kept secret?
So that Gordon will have no chance to cover his tracks before John Everett walks in the office and takes over.
Then you suspect him of some sort of criminal activity.
I do.
Major, when do you expect the new commissioner?
Well, he was due to arrive in St. Michael on the 12th. I made a reservation for him on the Queen of the Yukon. That should arrive in Dawson day after tomorrow.
The 24th.
Yes, I have a confirmation of the reservation here. Parlor A.
Parlor A?
Well, what's so startling about that?
I don't believe your secret's been kept as well as you think, Major. I'd like you to read this note. It was addressed to the man who was killed last night.
Action, 14, 24, Parlor A. What does it mean?
I can only guess, sir. Parlor A could refer to the new commissioner. And the 24 to the date of his arrival.
And the 14?
Island 14 in the Yukon, Ryan's Landing. Most steamers take on fuel there. If the Queen of the Yukon's on time, she should reach the landing early in the morning of the 24th.
Are you suggesting this note is connected with a plot? With an assassination plot?
Yes, sir.
There's only one man who would gain anything by John Everett's death.
You've made me realize that during the past few minutes.
But before I said anything, you suspected Ben Gordon of having something to do with the murder. The murder of the man to whom this note was addressed. Why?
The dead man had a dog, sir. A gentle dog. Shortly before noon today, without any provocation, this dog attacked Ben. Now, that may be a flimsy basis for suspicion, but, Major, believe me, a dog's instinct can often be trusted more than a man's reason.
Well, I'll grant you that. Still, you can't possibly make an arrest on such evidence.
I have no intention of making an arrest at the moment.
And what do you intend to do?
Sir, our chief concern is that the new commissioner reached Dawson safely. I'd like to give him police protection from the moment he enters Yukon territory.
I'll make that an order, Sergeant. Use as many men as you feel necessary.
Thank you, sir. We'll board the steamer at 40 Mile, and if there's any attempted violence when we stop at Ryan's Landing, we'll be in a position to deal with it.
And also in a position to make any arrests that are necessary. Go to it, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. On the morning of the 24th, shortly before dawn, the steamer Queen of the Yukon neared Ryan's Landing. At the landing and hidden from the waterfront by the large pile of firewood stacked along the shore, 20 men received their final instructions from their leader, Ben Gordon.
Ryan taken care of, Pete?
He's in the cabin bound and gagged.
Good, good. Now listen, everybody. Pete will be the only one to show himself until after the steamer has docked. You all have your assignments. Now, are there any questions?
No.
And remember this. There isn't one of you who isn't digging gold out of Crown Land.
There isn't one of us who isn't paying you a percentage.
Any objections? I've dealt with objections before. Don't forget what happened to Jake Martin.
I wasn't objecting.
Why should you? You're making a fortune. But don't forget that you've conspired with me to defraud the government. If John Everett reaches Dawson, you'll all go to jail.
Even if we get rid of him, they're sure to send someone else to take his place.
But the next man can't possibly get here before September. By that time, we'll all be rich. Don't you understand? All we need is this summer.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, then. Look alive.
Right. Well, here she comes.
Go on, Pete, out on the dock. Give them a hand with a line.
Right.
The steamer nosed into the dock at half speed. Then the engines were checked and the lines made fast. The gangplank was lowered.
All right, men, follow me. Let's go.
All right.
As soon as it touched the dock, Ben Gordon's men broke from cover behind the woodpile and raced up it to the lower deck.
Come on now.
The crew cowered back from their guns. Talbot, Pete, and Ben led their parties up the companionway to the second deck. There was no opposition, and the attack was proceeding according to plan until suddenly gunfire broke out from all over the steamer.
Hey, look what's wrong?
From the engine room, from cabins on the first and second deck, from the wheelhouse. The boarding party caught glimpses of Redcoats behind the gun flashers.
Hey, the Northwest mounted. Ben, come back!
No, not me.
Ben, having reached the upper deck, ran toward the stern of the boat and Parlor A. A plan had formed in his mind. To shoot John Everett and then jump overboard and swim for the far shore.
Let them all die. I'll save myself.
Sergeant Preston, standing in the entrance to a companionway, saw him coming and stuck out his foot.
Oh!
Ben tripped and hit the dock hard, his gun skidding from his grasp. Instantly, the sergeant was on top of him.
Oh, you...
Ben tried to roll free, but the sergeant brought the barrel of his gun down hard on the back of his head. And the big man lay still. The door of Parlor A opened, and John Everett stepped out onto the deck.
This is Ben Gordon, sir. Everything's under control now.
Good work, Sergeant.
Not a single member of Gordon's gang escaped from the steamer. The crew, armed by the police, helped round them up. Then the steamer refueled and sailed up the river to Dawson. That night, all the prisoners were behind bars.
The following morning, Sergeant Preston was summoned to the office of the military governor. Major Warren rose to shake his hand.
My congratulations, Sergeant. John Everett has told me how well you handled the situation on board the steamer.
Thank you, sir. Has Mr. Everett had a chance to examine Gordon's books?
I've been helping him. We've been at it all night. My worst suspicions were correct, Sergeant. Gordon has been transferring Crown lands to private citizens in return for agreements giving him half the gold that was taken from it. He'll go to jail for 20 years.
Perhaps not, sir.
Eh? Why not?
Well, sir, all the men who took orders from him yesterday are ready to swear it was he who murdered Jake Martin.
And that would mean the gallows.
Yes, sir. The prosecutor seems to think his case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. The family races to the breakfast table when there's delicious Quaker Puffed rice or Quaker Puffed wheat to eat.
They're crisp as can be because of the sealed inner lining in the package.
And everybody goes for the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain.
The sun-ripened flavor that old Mother Nature puts into the one shot from gun.
They are never factory sweetened.
As Mother knows, some like their cereal not so sweet, others like it very, very sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed rice and wheat.
The whole family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
So when you see those big red and blue packages on your breakfast table,
get ready, get set to eat the best tasting breakfast treat, delicious Quaker Puffed rice and Quaker Puffed wheat.
And listen, fellas and girls,
if you like to collect things,
if you like scale models, especially ones you build yourself,
something wonderful is coming your way.
Hear full details of a terrific offer on these programs soon.
Listen every Tuesday and Thursday.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
I'm about to start on patrol, Inspector. Have you any special orders?
Yes, Sergeant. Check into this complaint about a four-legged killer.
Four-legged?
A huge wolf owned by an Eskimo named Ulak.
Ulak's wolf?
Yes. Why? What's the matter, Sergeant?
Why, nothing, sir. I'll investigate.
A strange story lies behind the killer wolf. Preston's investigation leads to one of the most astounding conflicts the Yukon ever knew. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns.
Muffet, Muffet, what a circus to eat, Muffet, Muffet, Muffet's the round threaded wheat.
It's a circus to eat Muffet, the round threaded wheat. Get Muffet threaded wheat, M-U-F-F-E-T-S, Muffet. 100% whole wheat, crisp, crunchy, golden good Muffet, the round threaded wheat.
Muffet's the round threaded wheat, oh,
oh. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.